It's showtime, folks!
Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
And good evening and a happy Thursday to you all out there. Welcome in to the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, a fan-run radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, FM 105.7, AM 1340 here in Knoxville, streaming on the Fan Run app. You have another edition of Overtime, clocking in a little past 6 o'clock here. Tanner Carson, Justin Feist, and making another appearance here on the show, we got John Tyler in the house as well. How you boys doing tonight?
Doing well. We got a big ladies basketball matchup. Storied rivalries making its comeback, and I'm excited to see what they can do with it. How are you guys doing?
I'm good. I'm stoked to be here again. Ready for hour four of talking ladies sports.
You still got a voice?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I feel great. I'm still young. I'm not like these old guys on the drive.
That's
so
true.
Okay, so Russell's letting you talk now.
Yeah. Until he hears what I just said.
I think he's still out there, so you're probably safe.
He might be safe unless he decides to listen to the podcast just to see if you were talking crap.
Chances are low.
I wouldn't worry too much about that either, but glad for you to join us here, John. It's going to be an exciting 2 hours here. And speaking of, counting down hours here, we got 2 hours of programming here, but we are 1 hour away from what we just talked about here, man. This isn't often that we kick off the show talking lay ball hoops, even though great year one so far under Coach Kelly Harper, 15-3 overall. You've had some key SEC wins. You had a buzzer beater by Renia Davis the other night to beat Alabama. Things have been going well so far. But despite that, it's rare that we open the show talking about LA Vols game coming up here, but there's good reason we are doing that. As everyone knows and as everyone has been anticipating, even if you're not a diehard Lady Vols basketball fan, you always have some type of feeling, some type of opinion about the UConn Huskies women's basketball program and what this showdown between these two teams used to mean, what it meant, not just to the two programs, but to the entire sport of women's basketball, and not just women's college basketball either. It was just like women's basketball as a whole. This was the first real big heated rivalry between two teams. It was the first series of games to be put in prime time on ESPN, the first one to really move the national discussion needle when it came to sports talk as well. And for the first time, guys, in 13 years, Tennessee takes on UConn. Certainly a whole lot has changed since these two programs last met. Lady Vols won two more titles under Pat Summitt that season in 2007 and the next year in 2008. UConn really established itself, and I don't want people to take this the wrong way when I say it, but the numbers do speak for themselves. That the amount of championships they were able to win over the last decade really established himself as number one all time when it came to a women's basketball program. It's sad to say, but they did get the titles under Geno. So many star players, Maya Moore, Brianna Stewart, and some others that I can't really remember right now. But, we know the tale of the tape, what has happened since the last time these two programs met. The series has been renewed. I mean, it is called right here when you look at the GameCast preview on ESPN, the Basketball Hall of Fame Revival Series. It is a revival tonight. Lady Vols going up to UConn to take on the Huskies, who are number three right now, 16-1 overall. But this isn't the same type of dominant UConn program we've been used to over the last decade plus. Sure, really talented, really good, of course, but they're not coming out every night and beating top 10 teams by 45 plus. They're not doing stuff like that. I mean, hell, they even have a home loss this year. Baylor came in there and smacked them around this year. So, tall task tonight for Kelly Harper and the team, but certainly not an impossible task. I talked to Justin. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. I saw a promo ESPN tweeted out about the game, and it actually got me a little pumped up. To have this one tonight. So, guys, we're about a little less than an hour away. What's y'all's excitement level for this one?
About as excited as you could be. Within the context of it, you know, being a women's game, but you know, I'm excited for the rivalry to be back. I'm excited that we have a chance. This Lady Vols team has been through some ups and downs, some turmoil the past few years. It seems like they're finally, Coach Harper's got them, you know, on the right track. It seems like they're having a great start to the season. And this game, not only is it sort of a revival of back in the heyday of, Lady Vol dominance, kind of harkens back to those days. But also, this is the type of, matchup that you want to see the Lady Vols at least be competitive in, because they're having the type of season where they should be a tournament team if they keep up this current trajectory. A tight game here, I'm not going to predict a victory or anything like that, but, a close game, 10-point margin if we keep things, don't make any, too many bad mistakes. I think that would bode well for, looking at where the Lady Vols might be at in March.
With UConn being, I think they're like a 13-point favorite, which I thought it would be higher, honestly, just because of where we're at and it being them. I was looking at their schedule earlier, and they played Notre Dame, who we've played and we beat. They just decimated Notre Dame. And then they only beat Vandy by like 12 points, which was odd to me because I thought Vandy women's basketball is like really bad, like the men's team really bad. But they, other than that, they haven't really played any ranked teams. Notre Dame wasn't ranked when they played them. DePaul and Baylor are the only ranked teams they've played, and they only won one of those.
Yeah, and you saw what Baylor did.
Yeah.
I mean, Baylor didn't just go in there and snap that near 100-game home winning streak. They beat the crap out of them, especially in the second half. It had been a while since you saw a UConn team get treated like that at home, especially. Didn't they have a close one last week in a conference game? Because since the American Conference formed – have they even lost a conference game
since that conference formed? I would be shocked if
they might have lost one. Yeah, they had a road game at UCF and only won by 7, 59-52. You look at that, and it's like UConn women's basketball, they won at Memphis by 12. And I know when you look at like any other team, it's like you win a road conference game by 12, you're supposed to say, well, that's still pretty good. But UConn we're talking about.
Yeah.
This UConn, this is a little bit different. There's supposed to be a whole lot less parity in the women's game. You're supposed to see more playoffs like this. It was only a few years ago when, UConn, South Carolina started to be a thing. They would play in, like, January. They'd be number one, number two. Even if UConn would go to South Carolina, they would win by 25-plus easily. So it's a little bit different this time around here.
I think the Lady Vols this season, they have something that a Lady Vols team hasn't had in almost a decade, I would say. And that's – they have that – toughness. They have a toughness about them. You just watch and you can see they have a chip on their shoulder. They're tough. They play defense. It's a team thing, not just an individual.
Yeah. It comes from their head coach.
Exactly.
Another thing is you can tell they like playing together. This team, I feel like, has a lot more chemistry than, teams of the past, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. They all seem to really not just enjoy practicing together and stuff, but they all seem like they're all a pretty tight group on and off the court, and you can see that in the way they play. They're all, like you said, they're not really too individualistic. It's all team goals, and I do think that's credit to Coach Harper for sort of instilling that, and I'm glad that the freshmen are meshing well with the older players, and everything seems to be going pretty well. So
John, I know you just did 3 hours on the drive today. I know you all touched a lot on this game tonight. Did you all go over what Geno said yesterday about the game and about the rivalry?
We didn't go. We went over just a history of negative things he had said, but not what he said specifically yesterday.
Here's something he said this week. He said a whole lot more about what's changed in 13 years. But here's the one thing that sticks out here. He said, everybody would love for it to be what it was, but it's not. It's nostalgic. Times have changed. It's a great game on the schedule. It is it what it used to be? No. Will it ever be? No. As much as their fans or our fans want it to be, it won't be. He basically, to paraphrase, he said, 13 years is a long time. A lot's happened. There's been other rivalry games that UConn has played in. There's been other stuff that's captivated women's college basketball versus when Tennessee-UConn was really the only big one when it came to non-conference opponents. He's not wrong when he talks about the other rivalries, but, man, is it, do you think
he's pretty much writing us off. Like
that's really what it sounds
like. Basically, any time we play in the future, he's saying, you know, the Lady Vols will not be competitive with UConn from here on out.
And maybe,
or ever again.
I think maybe he means – he probably really means that.
Maybe he means just, like, the hype level or, like, how
I think he's talking about the hatred, honestly. And if he's talking about just that pure disdain for each other, I think he has a point. But
I mean, rivalries do die. Like, we don't hate Bama as much as we used to because we haven't.
Well, they die because you don't beat them.
Yeah.
That's why that's dying.
And this one's died just because you haven't played them.
Right,
yeah. And it's not the case that the Lady Vols weren't beating UConn. This program has a 3-game winning streak on UConn. That is what it is right now. You haven't played in a while, but that's still the fact of it now. It's just. It's been a while since it's happened. I mean, the current players on both rosters, when this series was still going on, they were in elementary school. He even touched on that. I see some of his points, but for him to say it's never going to be a real rivalry again, you don't know that. You don't know that.
He's throwing shade with that.
Yeah,
oh,
definitely.
Big time.
And there's an underlying factor here. There's a big piece missing this time around. There's no Pat Summitt.
Yeah.
I mean, Pat versus Geno, that was the big thing. That was the big draw of the rivalry, a lot of it.
Was Coach Harper on teams that beat UConn?
Oh, yeah. She's 4-1 all time against Connecticut.
Because she played, I mean, hell, she was on the three-peat team.
Yeah.
Was she the point guard all three
she
years?
She was. Yep.
Ooh, okay. So she knows about beating him. Mm-hmm. She knows about it. So, and I'm sure there's.
She's going to have the players ready.
She's had her team understand what this means,
yeah.
But until they actually get out there and play,
it's a totally different story.
It's not going to be the same type of thing. If this is going to be the start of something that's, you know, you don't have to go back to playing them once a year, I don't think. But maybe if this is a consistent type of series, who's to say you can't ever get back to intensity again, especially if Kelly Harper is going to be the coach to get this program back to Final Fours. You never know that. And especially these two teams meet in a tournament.
Oh, yeah.
You've had close calls over the last few seasons. If, let's be honest, it all fell on Holly Warlick and the Tennessee team to win some games to get to that point because UConn was always going to advance to the Final Four.
Right.
Point remains that you've had some close calls. Who knows what can happen in the postseasons as well. So I'm ready to see what happens tonight. I'm not expecting to win. I'm really not. Am I expecting the Lady Vols to be competitive? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think success tonight is you cover that spread.
Yeah.
Especially if you can make it a single-digit game on the road in Connecticut, I'm feeling fine about it.
I think they'll cover. I think they'll cover the 13 points. I said yesterday on the drive, if they keep it to 10 or less, and I know moral victories suck, but if they keep it 10 or less, just considering where we're at,
And where they've been, especially.
Yeah.
They do shoot a little bit better than us, but it's like, I think it's like 2% better from field goal and like 4% better from three. So, like, we're not that far behind them. I mean, they have four double-digit average scorers, and we have three, but.
But look at who they've played.
Yeah. It's not like the steepest of competitions. So.
We've played Stanford and Texas, who are top 10 teams. We played Notre Dame when they were a ranked team. Granted, they are out of the top 25 now, but
on the road, though.
On the road, early season, and we dominated them.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. And I was looking at the roster of just looking at height of our players versus ours, because I know our players are really tall,
mm-hmm.
and we get a lot of blocks, and we're still bigger than they are pretty much across the board.
Hmm.
So that, I mean, they have one person who's like 6'5", but we have like three that are 6'4", so I mean, 1 inch.
Well, they don't have a Breanna Stewart.
Right.
That's a good thing this time around, too. Let's leave this segment with this here, guys. Do you actually think it might help the Lady Vols tonight that looking at the UConn roster that they don't really understand how big of a rivalry this is? Maybe, you know, mentally they're not as unified in kicking the crap out of us.
Well, just from Gino's stance about it, I'm not sure.
It's all nonchalant.
Yeah, I'm not sure that he's, like, hyped them up anywhere near as much as, you know, Kelly Harper's you know, doing for our girls. So I would not be surprised if they come out, you know, slow, or if they don't really respect us as much. And, you know, interested to see whether or not they give any love to Avina Westbrook, who will be on the bench.
Yeah.
Played a part in the whole saga, but luckily she is not playing. So
I know the Lady Vol Twitter account has been putting out some good video footage of what they've been doing while they've been up there, you know, visiting ESPN and the Hall of Fame and a lot of Pat stuff. So, I mean, I think, like you said, Kelly's going to have them pump, and I think UConn's just kind of going to be like, just another game against a crappy team.
Man, if you can get a win up there, man, that's just – I don't know what I'd do. I don't want to think.
I think I'd be more hype about a win tonight for the Lady Vols than I have been about any men's game to date, just because we haven't won any big games yet.
Would you be more hype to beat UConn tonight or Kansas Saturday?
Oh, I mean, that's not really.
I mean,
that would be insane if we managed to beat Kansas Saturday. I would be equally excited because I love both sports.
That's
equally.
Saying something then.
Yeah.
No, oh, yeah, it's huge.
I would be equally excited, too, if you ask me what I think would be a lot more important. I mean, beating UConn would obviously be big for the Lady Vols program, but I think the Lady Vols program is in great hands, and they're going to be in positions to get a whole lot of big wins. What this men's team has been through so far this year, I don't know, man. You beat Kansas, that's pretty much your ticket to the tournament if you can manage to go 500
in
the
massive.
SEC.
I mean, both wins are massive. If we can beat UConn tonight, I think the women's team is back with a capital B.
Ooh.
No, not just the capital B, in all caps and bolded.
All caps back.
And bolded and underlined as well. Good stuff, guys. Let's hit this first break of the program. Again, for all you listeners, and if you would like to call, another day of the phones not functioning properly. We are working on fixing that. Hopefully they will be fixed by tomorrow, but no phone calls tonight, guys. Sorry about that, but you'll just have to listen to us. I know everyone loves that so much. We'll come back, talk a little bit Tennessee men's basketball too, especially for the future. You have a Vol signee who has officially been named to the McDonald's All-American Game roster. Talk to you about that and maybe some Tennessee football recruiting too. We can squeeze it in. You're listening to Overtime. We are with you until 8 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Jaden Springer, Tennessee signee, the crown jewel in Tennessee's 2020 signing class, even though, you know, no disrespect to Keon Johnson, Corey Walker and all of them. Jaden Springer, the highest rated according to all the recruiting services. Today, it's officially unveiled that he will be on the McDonald's All-American Game roster, alongside the cream of the crop in college basketball. Just looking here, you have basically the top in order here. You have, according to ESPN, the top 11 recruits in the 2020 class all playing in this game. Jaden Springer is number 16, according to ESPN. He is on the roster. You see a whole lot of Duke signees, Kansas signees up here, and yeah, man, Jaden Springer, McDonald's All-American. So I guess that makes him the first since Tobias?
Triple J.
Jordan. Oh, did he play
Josiah
last year?
Josiah was All-American. No, he wasn't. No. We talked about it in the drive. I think Tobias.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think Triple J was All-American.
Even though he was five-star, he just didn't. Right. He just wasn't named to the McDonald's right. All-American roster.
He did the Michael Jordan whatever All-America thing that they do. College basketball.
I mean, they're kind of all the same, really.
Yeah.
But the McDonald's All-American Game, right. That's the one people look at and go, ooh, here's the cream of the crop.
He's the eighth Vol all time to be a McDonald's All-American.
I'm trying to just name off the top of my head how many. So Tobias, Scottie Hobson, Vincent Yarborough?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Hayslip?
Mm-hmm. Around that same time, think Yarborough.
Ron Slay.
Nope.
Ron Slay was like a three-star, wasn't he?
Yeah, he wasn't.
Were services even out by then?
I don't know. Well, yeah, they. I mean, we go all the way back to the 80s.
They were magazine-based.
Yeah, that's true. You probably had a dial.
So you had three of them.
You probably had a dial 900 number.
It was a floppy disk that you just paid to order.
Nice.
To your house.
So we go back to the 80s and Allen Houston, right?
Allen Houston.
Certainly.
Yeah, there's four of them.
Oh,
You got two more in the 90s, and then...
See, this is where my basketball knowledge begins to get fuzzy, because I'm a lot more cognizant and, like, about the history of the football team and basketball. Just name the rest for me.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm probably going to feel dumb when I hear some of them. I think I did good to you get did. Some of those guys.
Vincent Yarbrough. Okay. Tony Harris.
Yes, of course.
Tobias Harris.
Yes.
Charles Hathaway.
I wouldn't have got him.
Scotty Hobson, Allen Houston, and Doug Roth. Doug Roth was 80s.
I wouldn't have got Doug Roth.
Yeah, and then Jaden Springer.
Look at that. Good for him. Good for Mr. Springer. Does this mean you guys will tune in a little bit to watch him? He actually was on TV last weekend, right?
He'll be in Knoxville Saturday.
And, IMG plays Catholic Saturday as well. That should be very interesting.
That'll be a packed house.
Just for Catholic versus IMG, period, because of his teammates as well as him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we were going through the rosters, like, at least 7 players in the top 100. From IMG.
IMG's insane.
It's nuts.
That's completely insane. Do you know off the top of your head the tuition for IMG?
No, we can Google
IMG
that.
IMG High School?
IMG Academy, yeah.
I'm going to say it's at least 18 Gs. IMG.
Yeah, try to find that for us here. But John, would you be tuning in to the McDonald's All-American game?
Oh, yeah.
On April the 1st?
Yeah, just for Springer. Just to see Springer.
IMG Academy is providing... Okay, wait. Let me make sure this is correct.
I wonder if they do scholarships.
This is spliced out of a thing. It says $72,500 a year for tuition, room, and board. Financial aid is available to qualifying families, of course.
That's okay. A lot. $72,500, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Good God.
I mean,
so above the average annual household income of America... is 1 year at IMG.
I mean, they are kind of giving, like, families the promise of, hey, look at who we have put into professional sports leagues. We're going to, if you have a talented son or daughter, we're going to take care of it.
Let's not be stupid here. Like, some of those colleges are paying for those players to go there. I mean, let's be real. It's happening. Some of those AAU coaches or agents, yeah.
What? You tell me AAU is shady?
Yeah.
What?
Spoiler alert.
Oh,
breaking news on overtime.
Man, I expected so much of them. Damn, that just absolutely ruined my whole day here. While we're on recruiting here, too, over to football. You guys think that there's a chance that Jeremy Pruitt, Moose, and company can pull a rabbit out of the hat by National Signing Day in early February and try to get the services number one running back in the class of 2020, Zach Evans, who, of course, the drama with him – not only being committed to Georgia, signed with Georgia, he was at the University of Georgia, gets released from his LOI, and now the whole race is on to get him again. Texas A&M is really hot after him since he is a Texas native. I mean, you have, I think LSU is up there as well. He's taking an official visit back to Georgia?
Yeah, his last weekend. It's next weekend he's going to Georgia.
That's so weird.
He was doing Florida, but he canceled that.
Yes, he's not going to Florida, so that helps.
Here's something to think about. Who's the running backs coach at Texas A&M?
It is Jay Graham.
And who do you think might be the running backs coach at Tennessee next year?
Jay Graham's up there.
Interesting, isn't it?
I heard y'all talk about that on the drive, too, and I was thinking to myself, wait a minute. I know he's still on Texas A&M's payroll, but, you know, what did that relationship with Zach Evans means, hey, I'm going to Tennessee.
And isn't it interesting we haven't named a running backs coach yet? I'm not saying that that's it. I'm just putting that out there.
I feel like what's his name? Kronk in First New Group. Oh, yeah. It's all coming together. Yeah. It's all coming together. Yeah. Is that wishful thinking?
I think it is.
And I think it's too that seems way too optimistic for Tennessee football.
It's been going pretty well, though. Just in general, yes. Tennessee football has recently. Do we want a player like this? I mean, we want a player like this, but do we want the off-the-field player like this?
I'm reading about some of this right now.
He's kind of nuts.
Suspended at times in high school, a few games.
He wouldn't give up his cell phone at one point before a game, and so he got suspended for that.
Yeah, his high school coach was collecting phones at the hotel prior to a state championship game, and he said, I'm not giving my phone... Which is like...
Gotta be on the gram, man. You can't have my phone, coach.
Like, what am I supposed to do while I'm laying awake until 2 a.m., coach?
I mean,
probably called his coach a boomer. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Or worse.
You, I mean, I feel like if whatever the case is, if Tennessee's got a shot at getting him, we'll probably, hopefully, we would do our, you know, due diligence in figuring out what went down with Georgia, because as they must have found something that they didn't like, or
but now they want him back.
But now, why is he going to take an OV back to Georgia? Oh, I know why they want him back. He's probably a really damn good football player. You
have
almost,
you seen his highlight?
I assume
it's Kamara-esque. Honestly, he looks like Kamara the way he moves. Yeah, he's like, bigger, but he looks like him.
Why did people take risk on Antonio Brown, who we're going to get to here in a minute? Why do you take risk on why the hell did the Chiefs try so hard to hold on to Tyreek Hill and some others too? I mean,
I won't put him in that category because I don't know.
No, I won't either. But I'm just
I don't
saying
know his stuff yet.
Take a risk.
I'm saying people have done a whole lot worse
for a lot worse people.
Yes,
yeah.
And teams still take a risk on them.
Oh yeah.
As long as he's not out here capping people like Aaron Hernandez, I mean, God.
Deion Sanders spoke up for him at the All America game.
Of course
he said,
did.
"He's a kid. I got kicked off the team my junior year for doing something stupid, and my coach let me back on. I made up for it. The rest is history. He deserves
probably trying to get his
another
ass to Florida State
shot."
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if Pruitt is known to be the second chance guy, Juwan, yes.
Possibly Jeremy Banks,
probably. Do you think Jeremy Banks is going to talk to prisoners on his own volition? No.
Yeah, no,
come on.
Probably not.
So, we'll see. We'll see. And, I mean, Tennessee has a history of taking players who are running backs and putting them at linebacker. It worked out pretty well in the 90s. Al Wilson, Raynaud Thompson, Crouch this season.
Yes.
So, you never know. You never know. We'll have a ton of running backs, but that doesn't mean they're all going to stay running back.
Hey, I'm glad at least the staff is still trying to hit the grand slam.
Yeah.
When it comes to filling up one or two more spots here, I mean, if you got him, that would be fantastic. But at this point, man, I'd be satisfied if you got D. Beckwith. If you can keep D. Beckwith away from Florida, have someone with that size and skill, that's absolutely perfect. If you can add at least one more solid piece to this recruiting class, I'm going to be fine. I don't have major complaints about the class we inked back in December. So. Make additions.
Did you see those photos of D. Beckwith in the jersey and everything?
Oh my God, that's a
dude,
monster!
He looked like an animal.
He
I have
was,
a theory
he
about
was
guys with dreads.
Popping out of those armbands or whatever they wear.
Oh yeah, even in the basketball uniform too. I just have this thing about dudes with dreads that they just are better players in general. Like look at Eve Pons this year. He's got the ponytail. Better
get D. Beckwith in like an arm wrestling contest with Eve Pons. I want to see that. I want to see that immediately. Oh, well, good stuff here. You still got some time before National Sign Day. Show us why you were named National Recruiter of the Year, Moose. That's all I'm going to say. Hit this break here. We'll come back. We are going to yet again talk about Antonio Brown because there was an update to his latest saga of off-the-field trouble here. Tell you about that on the other side. You're listening to Overtime. Go pick you up some Truly Hard Seltzer this week, and especially if you're going to get settled in here in about 30 minutes to watch the Lady Vols take on UConn. You got some time to run to your local grocery store, even run to your local convenience store, pick you up some Truly Hard Seltzer. Go search and find you the new lemonade options as well. There's four of those, including the mango lemonade, which I've heard is really fantastic. I've yet to try that one myself, but I do believe the reviews. They have 13 other varieties of Truly as well for you to pick from. Get you on the variety packs. 100 calories, less than 1 gram of sugar, 5% alcohol, and gluten-free. It's not going to weigh you down. Drink what you truly want to with the light, refreshing taste of Truly Hard Seltzer. Antonio Brown. I don't know how many times we spent since August, July talking about Antonio Brown, but have another update to the whole moving truck battery assault saga. I guess we'll just call it Rockgate. Because he was throwing some rocks at some movers here.
Yeah.
Warrant out for his arrest as of last night here. I've got this Washington Post story about it, and if one of you wants to try to find the details of the 911 call from the mover, feel free to share that as well. So an arrest warrant officially issued for Antonio Brown down there in Hollywood, Florida. A spokesman for the Hollywood, Florida police confirmed this morning that the arrest warrant was issued, but said it had not yet been executed at that point. And since there's been no update of him being arrested, I assume it's still not yet been executed too. Interestingly enough, the warrant does not permit officers to enter Brown's home to make the arrest.
It's weird.
That's a different type of warrant. I thought the warrant all gave you the right to kill on property. Anyway, I'm not a legal expert, so I will just continue here. Brown faces charges of burglary with battery, burglary of an unoccupied conveyance, and criminal mischief less than $1,000, according to the police spokesman down there in Hollywood, Florida, Christian Latta. Brown's trainer, Glenn Holt, was arrested Tuesday after an incident involving the driver of a moving van. According to police, the trainer, Holt, was charged with burglary with battery, a felony. Police reportedly were called to Brown's home on Tuesday afternoon. Well, I don't think it's reportedly at this point. There were so many pictures from his neighbors of all the cops that were there for a while. Another chapter in what has been a very just interesting last year for Antonio Brown. John Tyler, do you have the 911 call details?
Yeah, I do. If you want to hear the 911 call, it's about 20, 30 minutes long. You can go to TMZ Sports and they have it there for you. But essentially, quoting the moving truck driver, quote, "The guy's high, he's smoking, he threatened me, he's trying to fight, he's throwing stones at my truck. I'm trying to make a delivery to the gentleman. I called him and told him he has to pay the balance for us to unload. The guy refused to pay in the proper form." The caller goes on to say that Brown and one of his friends fought him when he initially arrived because they didn't want to pay his drop-off fee. And as he was driving away 50 yards up the street to get away from them, Brown started hurling the rocks at his truck. It says, "You can hear in the call the driver eventually goes back to the home and receives $4,000 from Brown via an app. But he tells dispatch that Brown refused to pay an additional $800 plus for the damages he suffered." The caller then says that Brown was super aggressive during the incident, ripping his shirt, causing him bruising and injuring his shoulder. The caller also says Brown and his friends forcibly took his keys and opened the back of his truck and began destroying the contents.
And some of the stuff they destroyed wasn't even Antonio Brown's. So yeah. It was other people's stuff as well.
Now he's got this also story today. Chelsea Kyrus, who is his ex-girlfriend, who was the one right in the middle of his last incident with police and the whole Instagram Live fiasco, she is now seeking sole custody of their three sons.
Rightfully so.
After filing a lawsuit in Florida.
That will be an easy case.
You would certainly hope so. You would certainly hope that this is the case. I feel like we are just being very redundant when it comes to discussing Antonio Brown's problems here. But I will go ahead and ask this. Are things only going to get worse? This seems like just a beginning chapter of something that's just going to get worse for him every time that he's not under supervision of people who actually care about him, because that's his biggest problem, and we know that this has been his biggest problem. He's not surrounded by people who actually care about his well-being. They're more concerned about what they can get from Antonio Brown.
Yeah. Honestly, a few days in jail might, you know, like wake him up, but he's going to post bond, whatever bond is set to.
His warrant doesn't have bond.
Yeah.
This one doesn't.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Bond's going to be set pretty it's very rare for something of this level to not usually you get bond. So assuming that does happen, he's probably just going to be able to walk out of jail in a matter of hours or days, which is unfortunate, because I think one of the only things that could maybe wake him up would be sitting in a cell for, 72 hours or so. Maybe woke him up to the fact that he actually needs some sort of psychological help. But in my estimation, he'll probably post bail or bond and, go back to doing crazy stuff before the trial. Or I'm betting he'll end up settling with this mover because, you know, money will make things go away. But yeah, I mean, this is, unless he like has a come to Jesus moment in jail for this offense, I wouldn't be surprised at all if, you know, something of the same caliber or worse, you know, happens down the road. Because, I mean, this is just a problem that's going to continue to get worse and worse. His mental health is quite obviously not getting any better.
Justin, during the break, you mentioned something interesting here, and he still has a while to go before he gets to Aaron Hernandez level. But in that Netflix documentary, the three-part one, which is really good, if no one has checked that out yet, I do suggest that you do watch that. One of the things you brought up in the break, Justin, was the fact that Aaron Hernandez has his awful CTE combined with just smoking, getting high every day.
Yeah, when you are dependent on marijuana, like, you know, the Aaron Hernandez documentary, you know, showed Hernandez to be, you know, I don't know how, you know, prevalent Antonio Brown's marijuana use is, but if he doesn't have a job right now and, you know, one could assume that he's, you know, getting high a lot. And the general consensus is that weed is, you know, sort of a harmless drug, but there's also plenty, like, I'm not being a narc here at all. Like, this isn't me, like, anti-weed Justin, but there are definitely, you know, certain people that, you know, marijuana, excessive use of marijuana, like, brings out and sort of brings to the surface, like, mental health issues. So, you know, if you're smoking all the time, and I was talking about with Aaron Hernandez, if you're high literally every day almost of your life, and combining that with the advanced level of CTE that Aaron Hernandez was found to have, you know, those two things, you know, by themselves, you know, are a catalyst for some pretty bad behavior, pretty bad decision making. And so, you know, it's hard for me not to. Obviously, Antonio Brown has not done anything, you know, near as egregious as Aaron Hernandez ended up doing. That we know of. But and I'm not saying he will. But
people in Hollywood, Florida.
As far as, you know, his ability to, you know, think rationally and make good decisions, you know, he's got to be pretty disconnected right now from life. Just as far as it would not be going out on a limb to say he probably has some advanced, you know, CTE, you know, brain trauma right now, and coupling that with excessive, you know, drug use, you're going to have some problems. And, you know, we're seeing all that play out. And, you know, that's why I think, you know, time off of, you know, off of all drugs, you know, detox a little bit, hopefully have a sober moment and realize that, you know, he's got to go seek some type of mental health before any of this is going to get better, because the combo of advanced CTE and, you know, marijuana bringing around some, you know, mental problems that he's probably dispositioned for already is making one heck of a combo for him right now, and can't be denied that it's detrimental to him and his family. So,
does he have any, like, documented notable concussions outside of what Burfict did to him? Because he's played football for a long time, he's definitely had more than one. But I'm trying to remember any notable one that he might have suffered while at least in the NFL. And, of course, if he had any in college, I don't know. He played Central Michigan. I don't remember Central Michigan football with him there.
I'm trying to think of other players that have – it seems like there's someone else that has had one of these just lose-his-mind type situations.
Richie Incognito.
Is that it? Is that the one I'm thinking of?
I mean, he's had bad ones. I don't know how much of his might be concussions other than maybe like Roy Drage too.
Yeah.
But now he's back playing for my team, and he's been on his – on as good behavior as he can.
So. Maybe AB knew something that no one else did when he was trying to keep his helmet when he was playing for the Raiders. Remember that whole thing this summer?
Oh, buddy, I do. Yeah.
So that he wanted to keep the helmet for a reason. But could he not go to the XFL? I mean, would they not love to have
They've already said no. Yeah, they've already fired shots at him on Twitter just as part of their like marketing. So I'm pretty sure AB would not be down to join the XFL either. And that's for pennies on the dollar. So the salary for the XFL is like it's like a base of 25, and then you get like bonuses per weekend you complete competing.
Yeah.
And that's what brings it up to the average of like 55-60K, because I think Corey Vereen made an XFL team, and then once he realized how the salary structure broke down, he pretty much packed it in.
He said, I'm out.
only 20K-ish guaranteed is not enough to step out on a football field every, Sunday.
No.
It's like back in the days of the NBA where you'd be guarding Oscar Robinson on Saturday, and then on Tuesday you'd be fixing air conditioners. Mm. It's one of those type of deals, I guess. But you have to hit another break here. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one of overtime. I almost gave out the phone number. I'm sorry about that. We should get the phones fixed tonight. No phone calls if you're just now joining us here. We're going to wrap up hour one of the show on the other side. Getting set up in Hartford, Lady Vols UConn. ESPN's coverage just now starting. John Tyler, not pleased that Rebecca Lobo, UConn legend, is on the call tonight.
How is it fair? I'm sorry. Like, if Kara Lawson was doing it, I would be upset too. Like, it just should be two unbiased people. But I guess that's probably hard nowadays. I mean, Kirk Herbstreit does a good job at it.
Yeah.
When he calls Ohio State games.
It also doesn't hurt the fact that he hates Ohio State fans.
It's true.
That's the reason he moved from Ohio to Nashville. So you have that there. I'm really thinking about all the homerism, like probably some fans think there is on ESPN, because you have Herbie calling games too. Think of all the – I mean, you have Desmond Howard there, so you have a Michigan slant. And my Lord, like all the college basketball game they got, so they're all Duke guys.
Yeah. Yeah, all of them. It's kind of ridiculous. But I think Jay Williams does a pretty good job for being a Duke guy. I think he does a pretty good job. Digger Phelps was always – I didn't like him to begin with when he used to do the College Game Day stuff. But
did you prefer him or when Bob Knight was on the
– I love Bob Knight. Give me Bob Knight for everything.
When Bob Knight dropped the cussing when they were at Baylor, when they were doing whatever that defense was, he called it a chicken bleep defense, and the whole crowd just lost it and they couldn't do anything about it. That was fantastic. I would have loved to have you could have had some type of sports show with Bob Knight and Corso on it, just to see
Holy
which
smokes.
One would drop an F-bomb first.
Holy smokes.
That would have been fantastic.
That would have been fantastic. We were talking about fights earlier during the drive of if Tennessee had ever been in a fight like the Kansas State fight or anything like that. And of course we always kept coming back to Bob Knight. Who would fight Bob Knight and win? Like, if there was a brawl when he was coaching, like who would be the coach to take down Bob Knight?
Now what year Bob Knight coaching? Because he was still coaching when he was an old man. So are we thinking like 1976 Bob Knight, the undefeated Indiana team?
I think Bob Knight now could take down most people. Those eyebrows, come on.
So are we talking another coach to fight him?
Yeah, what other coach? Ooh. I mean, he's taking down Krzyzewski easily. Roy Williams easily.
Yeah. Well, if you're talking about coaches right now, he can't beat Patrick Ewing. I mean,
Ewing.
Any of the former like NBA players, like him against Ewing, him against Stackhouse, him against
He could take Penny. He could take Penny.
I don't know, man. Penny is much younger, though.
One bald fist from Knight, and Penny goes running, clutching his pearls.
That's also true. Ooh, I'm trying to think of something.
Assault!
I can easily think of, like, intimidating college football coaches. I'm having a harder time thinking of basketball coaches, because they're all, like, wearing suits, and you all really can't tell, like, how, like, swole one of them might be, how big one of them
might be. I feel like Tom Crean's got a crazy side to him. Like, he's that dude, he takes his glasses off, he gets crazy.
Oh, Frank
Tom
Martin.
Tom Crean does Frank Martin.
Frank Martin like was a damn bouncer in Miami during the era where everyone was on cocaine down there.
Yeah, so. Frank Martin terrifies me.
I mean, he, yeah, still terrifies me. Imagine being one of his players and you mess up out of practice.
Dude.
And you have Frank Martin staring daggers through you.
I feel like whatever talk Frank Martin gives, you know, potential dates for his daughter, you know, if a guy knocks on his door.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Martin.
What do you want?
I just want to let you know right now.
Can't do that.
He's terrifying.
I have 10 p.m. shotguns.
You're dead.
Which means 9:55 p.m.
You walk up to the door. You don't realize it's her dad. You don't realize who her dad is. And he opens the door. You're just like, nope. And he just turns around and leaves. Like, I'm good.
I think a better conversation about this here, though, when we're talking about coaches. Which college basketball coach do you think either one of you could just kick their ass? Like right now. This was easier last year when Bryce Drew was still at Vanderbilt. Because I think anyone can shove him into the
Mike
locker.
Mike Krzyzewski because he's old.
That's ageism, man.
I'm trying to be more fair and think of like the younger.
Will Wade, man. Will Wade at LSU.
He does have a disgusting
I feel like he's
body.
The kind of guy like have a knife in his boot, though.
He'd be the dude that like catches you from behind.
Will Wade definitely carries.
Punches and runs away kind of guy.
Pulls out a Swiss Army knife and just stabs you with a screwdriver.
Hell, Shaq is smart. He's younger, but like I don't think he's
wiry.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a lot to talk. He's the dude that's doing a lot of talking, but can't back it up.
Oh, I tell you one I think even I could take. Probably Archie Miller at Indiana. Archie's not intimidating whatsoever.
I really don't know that many college basketball coaches.
See, I have a hard time trying to think of like college basketball coaches.
Konzo.
No.
I think Konzo would destroy me.
From where he licks his hands so much, though, he couldn't get a grip on you.
He's like, how tall is he?
He is a big dude.
He was like 6 foot.
Ooh, I think that would be a tough
basketball.
One for
play basketball.
Sweep the leg.
Stokes. No. Richardson.
He's 6'6".
Yeah, I'm terrified of him.
That's a no for me, dog.
Yeah.
Never mind.
No.
I'm wrong
about
that.
I'm not going to swing uphill.
One more before we go could definitely beat Bob Knight. Juwan Howard, Michigan. Juwan Howard's just playing NBA basketball a few years ago.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not
like 7 foot tall.
That doesn't mean
he will kill Bob Knight.
He's a very soft spoken guy.
Ah,
he's a nice guy. I think Juwan's a nice
gentle
guy.
Gentle giant, which means he can still
Rick
shoot the
Pitino.
Giant. Yeah, that'll be over about 15 seconds. Hour number one in the books here. Hour two coming up on the other side. Lady Vols UConn set to tip off here in a few minutes. We'll give you updates on that one as it progresses. One more hour of the show still to come. You're listening to Overtime. Jesus loves you.